This year is followed by a rapid review. After the rapid review, there is the same daf from the previous cycle of Daf Yomi with a different ambience and different participants, which may interest you as a chazara or maybe actually the one you prefer hearing.
The topic. Now, of all crazy things, he switched to the question of how do you read the pasuk Kitovim Dodecha Miyayin. Shit, that is weird. So let's take a look at the meaning of that pasuk. I mean, what if it's talking to a male? Then what does it mean? Kitovim Dodecha Miyayin. Kiyotar Avdimi Omar. Well, what Knesset Yisrael in the metaphor here is saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that Dodecha is not your loving; it's your lovers. Who are the lovers of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? The Rabbanan, Talmidei Chachamim. So what they're saying is, Tovim Dodecha, I like the words of the Talmidei Chachamim and their Gezeres better than the very wine of Torah itself. That's what it's saying. Which, of course, is a remez to exactly what's going on over here, because obviously there's no real meaning that we should take all that seriously about this gezeira on Gvino Takum. So you say, well, but Knesset Yisrael appreciates those kind of things. All right, I mean, there's many psukim that indicate the chashivas Talmidei Chachamim, Aishna Haikra Deshaile. Why did he ask him this pasuk specifically? Omer Shimon ben Pazi, Vitema, Rabbi Shimon bar Ani, because how does the first part of the pasuk start? Yishakeni Mishikot Piyu, Kitovim Dodecha Miyayin. How do you explain the relationship between kiss me with your lips because I like your lovers? Now that doesn't make sense. In other words, the drasha on the end part of the pasuk is inconsistent with the beginning of the pasuk. That's what he was being Maramis to him. So what it's saying, therefore, is Yishakeni Mishikot Piyu, he said Yishmaelachai. Yishakeni minishikot piyu means hold your lips together, and that is a kiss. Why? Kitovim dodecha miyayin. There are times where you need to learn to shut up. And the shutting up itself is like a kiss. Because when you're in love, sometimes silence is gold. And the more you're going to ask about this gezeira, the worse you're going to make things. Because it's not meant necessarily to make perfectly good sense. And therefore, you don't question a gezeira within the first 12 months, where it can become bottle if people don't take it serious. So, chashok shiftotecha zub zub al tevayel lahashiv. Stop pushing to get a solution over here. My time, huh? Omar ula vitemer of Shmuel bar Abba, because it was a gezeira chadashah. A gezeira chadashah, you need to be careful in the fak fakimba. The lashon of pikuk means also looking into things. Rashi says pikuk is a lashon of chatita. The pick, like we would say, pikuk, stop picking it apart. So then it turns into the other meaning of pikuk. Because if you keep being very picky about things, you end up being very cynical about things, and you're mefakfek by them. So the two usages are very interrelated. And therefore, in mefakfekin is bedafka, the word that I use. Stop being so didactic here. This isn't the point. Don't start asking me to give you explanations that are going to hold up in the classroom. And that's because the reason is, as they say, kiriyula. Oops, sorry. My taima, omar ula vitem reshuva barab, gzera chadasha mefakfekinba. Okay, we'll see later on because people may be bizarre. My gzeirat, but I mean, so what's it all about? You're telling me there's no logic? What is it about? Well, Rabbi Yishur ben Levi said, the real reason is because of nikur. Nikur in the sense over here of gilui. There was something will bite into it, and it may have snake venom in it. Well, I mean, if you really think that's the thing, can't you just say so? I mean, if there's a serious issue here, if it's been poisonous, I mean, say so. Well, why don't I mention Nikur? No, that's Kiriula, the Amar Ula. Ula said, and this is the same Ula we said before, that actually the idea is, Kigazri Gezerat B'marava. When they made a gezera in Eretz Yisrael, they would never say why they made the gezera. Lo magalo taima atreser yarchishata. Because then when you can use those really, there'll be a lot of people that don't think that this makes all that much sense. Because of that, the gezera will never take. Because the din is that a gezera has to take within the first year. And then we actually do a survey. Besdin sends around a survey. And they take a sampling. If the gezera has not been taken seriously within the course of a year, it automatically is canceled. So if you want a gezera, don't tell people the reason for the gezera. And therefore, it's the results that you need to be careful about. And atila zezuleba.
That won't prompt people.
No, because you can always, with blind faith, it's always, there must be some good reason. But if they tell you the reason, and it doesn't make sense, then it's always like that's why the church didn't allow you to read the Bible. Must be there's something in it, but once you read it, it sounds like a bunch of garbage. Megadiv bar Rabbi Yirmiyah. This is ridiculous, said Rabbi Yirmiyah. Come on, Fedeman. The reason for Vinot Akum is because of Nikur. If now the cheese dries, so then that's a proof that there wasn't menukar. Or if it became aged cheese. Remember we said before, because the oily venom doesn't allow it to dry properly. If it's aged, also it's a riot that it didn't have any poison in it. Because I don't buy into this. By the way, the Rishonim asked if it was because of Nikur. So then they should have asked any liquid that it shayach on. What do you mean the cheese? Why would they ask for the cheese? What? We're makbet to keep it clean. So why wouldn't they makbet to keep milk clean? Oh, very good. The process is such that they don't need to, because to make cheese you have to pass it through a gauze. So that'll catch the dirt. But a gauze doesn't filter the venom. So therefore, you can't rely on the hakvada on cleanliness when it comes to cheese making. Very, very cute. But the gauze, this filter, doesn't filter the filter that they use for cheese. Doesn't filter.
Wouldn't people die? Wouldn't they see people dying?
Of course, they're dying for their cheese. It's obviously cholesterol. That's how the drug companies make money. What do you mean? Amar Rabbi Chanina. I'll tell you the reason why they asked Gvinot Akum. They asked Gvinot Akum because the cheese is made from non-chol of Yisrael. And therefore, they might have some pig's milk or horse milk. God only knows what they have in it. See, E.F. Shala Balotzik Tzurke Chalav. Ayotaina, that's the whole point. That chalav of a non-kosher animal does not separate. So that's the very reason why you're allowed to use butter of non-kosher animals. So why, of stam chalav. So why cheese not? Because the cheeses have places where little drops of milk can just stay there as milk in the holes of the cheese. Is often liquid. And that liquid, the very fact that it didn't coagulate, is more of an indication that it indeed is non-kosher milk. How are you going to get rid of all of that? Because of that, we have to be chayish. Shmuel says, that's not the reason. The reason is because of rennet. It's not, but you're right. Rennet itself is okay, as the Mishnah proved. But how about if they use the actual stomach? They don't take out the lining. So then it's bolea for the ore. They use the ore of the kevat nevela. So there, which is a lot easier. We're going to start now dividing between the enzyme contents. And they just use the ore, which contains now specifically those enzymes. So, wait a minute. You're saying that Shmuel is agreeing that the rennet itself is kosher. It's only because you're using the actual meat, which is the stomach itself. That's what makes it not kosher? Or kevat gufa shayat? How could Shmuel have said that? Votznan, kevat oved kochavim v'shel nevela, arezu asura. Now, we asked on that, does that make any sense? We asked in Chulin. An oved kochavim keva is not nevela anyway, so what is the difference if it's oved kochavim or if it's nevela? I don't understand. By definition, if a goy shechted this thing, of course it would be a nevela. Now, it was Shmuel himself who said that the meaning in that Mishnah was all one statement, chodakatani, kevat shchitat oved kochavim is nevela, and therefore it's asura. But in any event, this is Shmuel. I'm sorry, but this is so exciting. I mean, it's hard to stop, isn't it? I don't know. The reason I'm doing this, obviously, is to make it a little easier on Mitzvah Yom Kippur to do the daf. But we can stop now. It's also right in the middle of a sugya. It's hard. It's a fascinating sugya. But all right, we'll let you off. Well, let's just finish this kash on Shmuel. Here Shmuel is saying it's because you use the actual stomach. And there Shmuel says the rennet without the actual stomach would be awesome. Now, how do you explain that? Well, very simply. The Mishnah went through stages, didn't it? In other words, we see those stages in our Mishnah. First stage was rennet is awesome. Then we attack that assumption because of the Ola. Then we come back with distinguishing between rennet and then specifically Avodah Zorah rennet, right? But the Mishnah over there that talks about the Nevela rennet, that could be the Mishnah Rishona before we went through changing our mind. And we have a klal that when we do that, Mishnah lo zazam mimakoma, the Mishnah doesn't necessarily withdraw its original Mishnah. That's what happened. Shmuel was responding to the Mishnah Rishonah. But obviously, now that we see that we no longer stick with that la locha, Shmuel's not contradicting himself when he says, well then, forget about the rennet, let's talk about the stomach. You see, there it's kodem chazara, before the Mishnah changed its mind about the difference between kevat nevela and kevat ovida avadazara, the kamle achra chazara, u'mishnah lo zazam. The Mishnah that talked about rennet being usher was from the earlier didaction of the Sidrei HaMishnah, and even though later on we took that back, as we know, we never play games with deletions in the Mishnah, which can cause a tremendous amount of problems in human databases, which of course is the only way we could store it, and therefore it was left the way it was. So far, our first suggestion as to what the underlying problem is with Vinay's Akum was because of Nikur. We're afraid that it's dangerous. And how do we understand that it should be dangerous? If it's dangerous, that maybe it was attacked by Sheretz that left venom in it. So why wouldn't any liquid of an Akum be Osir? Why only the cheese? So we explained that the difference is that a liquid we saw before that we were matir because they're careful on cleanliness. Even though they don't care about the far-fetched possibility of a venom problem, but in any event, since things are kept covered, nothing's going to be able to get to them. The problem is that when something is being used for manufacturing cheese, they're not makbid on cleanliness for the simple reason that the cheese is always, the mixture is always passed through a gauze. In as part of the process. Problem is that a gauze is very nice for cheese, but it's much too big of a filter to trap venom, as opposed to the wine filters, which would trap venom that we had earlier. So Mamela, we were cheshesh because of Nikur. And the reason that the Gemara didn't like that very much is because if that's the case, we know that something that has venom in it isn't able to age properly and isn't able to dry because the oily substance will prevent it. And so if that's the case, why don't we make a gezeira only on cheeses that are not aged and not dried? Since we made a general iser, it could not possibly be because of nikur. We needed another problem, another solution. So Shmuel said the reason is because of the utilization of the ore of the kevat nevela. In other words, even though we saw earlier that kevat nevela, we proved, was kosher, because even kevat of an ola is kosher, so therefore rennet itself is not a problem, because it's considered to be perish bi'alma. The only time it would be osir is takroves avodazor, where the Torah is marbe mu'uma minacher. Fine, but over here, just because it's a nevela, wouldn't be us. The only problem that we would have had was if you use the actual stomach, and not just the stomach lining. So over there, it's actually utilizing a foodstuff. And there it's not considered to be perish bi'alma. There is a machloikis rishonim about whether the issue is the taste of the kevat nevela or maimid of a kevat nevela, which leads to a whole question of if there's an issue of taste, then why isn't there a problem of basar v'cholof? If you're using meat, you're telling me that it's actual or. So then if you're using the stomach itself, if you're using the stomach itself, then why isn't it basar v'cholof? So again, many hold that there's no issue of tam b'chlal over here, either because it's tzeinein, the Torah didn't ask it tzeinein, weren't machmer on a tam that was coming in b'tzeinein, or b'chlal, it's not considered to be really sufficient to give a tam, and the only iser is because of the maimid. However, there are those who say that it is nageya, although this is not la halacha, there are many rishonim who discuss the issue, first of all of tam, and then the shita that even a maimid is only usher where it's nice in tam, which again we don't paskin. There is such a shita. Okay, then we went through Shmuel's reasoning, because the problem was that Shmuel himself tined that the keva of a nevela is usher. So why did he have to say it was or kevat nevela? And we explained that there were two stages in the Mishnah. Obviously, the first stage where we were trying to excuse the Yitzhar of Vinas Akum based on the kevas nevela. So based on that, Shmuel was explaining the Mishnah in Chulin as shchitas oivet kechovim is nevela, and therefore you can't use the keva of the shchit of an Akum. But after we saw that the Mishnah here gave up on that svara because of the attack of the sugya of Eila, and ended up coming back only with the taina of Kevas Akum. So already he also obviously had charata. The Mishnah over there was loizazo mimekema. That's where we were holding in the Gemara. So far we have two svaras. Remalkia mishbei de Rav Ada bar Avamar. The basis of the gezera is mipnei shemachalikim poneh b'shuman chazir, because they use lard to give a sheen to the top of the cheese, and because of that, we asked the cheese because of that chashash. Rav Chistoimer, mipnei shema'amidim ota b'chometz. They use wine vinegar as an emulsifier to coagulate, and that would be asur because of the stamiena. So if that's the case, later on we're going to ask, why isn't it asur b'hana'ah, the way the yayin is? Okay, but meanwhile, we're looking for an israchila. Reb Nachman bar Yitzchak amar, mipnei she'ma'amidim ota b'sraf ha'orla, because they use sraf, they use the resin of the tree, which has a din of a pri, we'll see, and that would make it asr, because orla is asr. Again, orla should be asr ba'ana'ah, a question which we're also going to have to deal with. Keman ki aitana, titanya Reb Eliezer omer, ha'ma'amid b'sraf ha'orla asur mipnei she'hu peri. Utilizing the resin for a catalyst is asur because it has a din of orla, even though it's not literally a fruit. Is that only alibed Reb Eliezer, says the Gemara? No. It could be a filu tema Rebbe Yoshua. It could very well be going on Rebbe Yoshua, who argues about resins. And ad kan lo polig Rebbe Yoshua later Rebbe Eliezer le bikat for deguza. Where did he say that it was not considered to be a actual pre? That's where you use the resin that comes from the wood. But if you use resin from the immature pre, the katva de piri, everybody is made that that's definitely considered to be orla and modi. And therefore, you do not have to say that it's only going like Rebbe Eliezer. Fine, it's not. Omar Rebbe Yoshua, shamati beferush, shama'amid bisraf ha'alin, ubisraf ha'ikarin mutar. That's exactly what Rabbi Yoshua was saying, as a matter of fact. So you certainly didn't have to make it work out only Aliba to Rabbi Eliezer. Because Rabbi Yoshua himself says, look, the way that I was given over the sugya is that if you use resin that comes from leaves, or it comes from the roots, all of that is mutter. But if you use now the catalyst that comes from the pagim, which are the immature fruit, then it's considered to be osur because it's a peri. Now, the problem is, ask the Gemara, Alibed Reb Chista, who holds that the problem is a problem of Yayin Nesach because of the Chemetz, or if you hold Alibed Reb Nachum by Yitzchak, who holds that the problem is Orla, so then we've got an issue, because both of them should be asring the Gvina Bahana'a, and yet nobody asers Gvina Bahana'a. You can catalyze the cheese as we do today with vegetable catalysts. You don't have to use rennet. Yeah. So one of the ways that they would catalyze was by utilizing vinegar that was wine-based, or orla, where the immature fruit nonetheless had a resin that they were able to utilize for as the ma'amid. So the problem is that is asur b'hana'ah. Both of those should be asur b'hana'ah. So why, if the ma'amid is asur b'hana'ah, didn't they asur the cheese b'hana'ah? Yeah. Yeah, I mean, nowadays they use fruits also. That's a very good question. Shalom aleichem. Wow. We missed you. You missed a nice davening. This is not a visit. This is already permanent. Yeah, Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem. Okay. Yeah, this was a very good question by our dear president. I mean, what? So then, Orla b'chutz l'aretz, why are we asering it mitzad ha'sofek?
So Enochinami, the Meforshim say that the whole idea of Yerigvinot Akum, we're only looking for an excuse. Once we have an excuse that it's us in one place because of one problem, we already make blanket Yisurim. So we're going to see a lot of the issues over here that have to do with Akum became blanket Yisurim, even though Lechaira, they shouldn't apply under particular circumstances. All of the different things. So in other words, things that were Aser Mishum Chasnus, for instance, were Asered even in places where it really makes no sense to Aser because of Chasnus, because they made blanket Yisurim. Okay, so here, why didn't they Asered Ba'ana? Kasha. Okay, problem. Dorav Shev Nachum, Reder of Chista. Now getting back to the non sequitur that we thought was a non sequitur anyway, that he was changing now. He didn't want to talk about the Gezerah because of the fact that you're not supposed to expose the Gezerah. So he turned him to the posik of Tovim Dodecha Miyayin, brought a raya that it's supposed to be Dodecha from Loreach Shemanecha Tovim. Once already we bring that posik, what indeed is the meaning? Loreach Shemanecha Tovim. The Matamint Chacham Domek, as remember, we had darshan the posik before, as referring to Gezerah Yisder Abbanan, which were Choshev to us more than Yena Shel Teira. And therefore, he was being meramis to him that he shouldn't ask too many questions. So, l'mat tamid chacham domeh, l'tzluchit shel plaitin. A tamid chacham is like a bottle of perfume. Miguleh, if he's open, meaning that he teaches others, so then reichan odev, then it becomes now usable and it smells wonderful. But if it's mechusef, he keeps it bottled up, ein reichan odev, v'lo od, and you should know that if he teaches, it's not, he should never think that he's wasting his time in teaching, because he ends up learning more devorim shemechusim mimenu mitgalim lo. The things that originally he wasn't zeche to understand, he comes to understand bedafka in teaching. Where do you see that in the pasuk? The reach shemanecha tovim, al kein alamot ahivucha. Shat alamot kribe alumot. The things which previously had been hidden from you, was ne'elam, they become now nizgalet to you as lovers. So this, again, I mean, we know in general, mitamidai yoter mikulam. But over here, I mean, some of the mefarshim compare it specifically to that sugya, mitamidai yoter mikulam. But the mice, I think over here that that's not the point. The point is in the actual act of teaching, rather than in the working with me. Yeah, in other words, the pouring out itself, the tzluchish al plaita, and in the actual pouring out, there's an expansion. The same way that the smell expands, the responsiveness of the spell, the mila, expands as well. V'lo od, not only that, but even the Malach HaMavis falls in love with him, which we found is exactly what happened to Moshe Rabbeinu at the time of Kabbalah Satera. So Masha compares the two sugyas. That over there, and says that each, that's how he knew that the Keteres was Matzil from the, later on from the plague. So the way that he knew that was because the Malach HaMavis had given him a gift that he should know that. That's the remez at the time of Kabbalah Satera of the Shavis HaShevi, Lakach the Matanois Be'adam, because they said, Mahenash Kitis Kareno. Over here, every Talmud Chacham that exposes himself in that fashion is also becomes beloved even of the Malach HaMavis. You may not like those kind of friends. So, Shenema Alam. Yes, that's true. Alkein Alamot Aivucha. Alemot Kribe Almavet. The one who's in charge of death also will love you. Velood Alashenocho Shnei Alamot. Talmud Chacham that is Merik Histeira outside and teaches others. Echad Olam Hazeh Ve'echad Olam Haba. Alamot Aivucha can be read as Olamot Aivucha. So you end up having a Mokim B'Shnei Olamot. The following things are osur, and definitely nobody holds that there's an isra ha'na'ah involved. Milk that is milked by an akum without a Yisrael present. We have pot, we have shemen shelahem, and also the bread and the oil of akum. Now, exactly what the is this extremely complex sugya. I want you to know that a lot of the concept of which gezeiras can be canceled, which gezeiras are dependent in a bezdin that's got off from the original bezdin, which gezeiras automatically are canceled, if the tam is canceled, the various shitas and rishonim, all lie in this sugya. And we know that these exactly are the issues where there's so much variation in the psak of how exactly to deal with pas akum.
Gvinas Akum, Cholov Akum. And that's because this is an exceedingly complex sugya with tremendous machlokes rishonim as to how to understand not only the nature of the original Isser, but the nature of the Gezeira that creates that original Isser. We'll try to work it through as we go along. So the first Isser is milk, where the Akum milks, and we don't know, we didn't watch him while he was milking it. Any type of bread and oil that comes from Akum. And by the way, says the Mishnah, Rebbe Ubeit Dino Hitiru HaShemen. Rebbe and his Beit Din were Matir Shemen Akum. Now this is absolutely not true. There's no such thing. And the only one that was Matir was Rebbe Yehuda Nisio, as a grandson of Rebbe. And therefore, Rashi says, take this out of the Mishnah. It's ridiculous. I mean, we'll see later on that there's certainly no basis in a Mishnah for Rebbe being a Matir. Sometaina, that maybe they used to call every Nasi in the door Rebbe, the same as Rebbe Yehuda Nasi. So that maybe this was inserted afterwards so that people should know when they read the Mishnah at Lamaisa, a Bezdin was Matir. But one thing is important, and that is if it required a Bezdin to be Matir, so then you have to worry, so what about those things that there was no specific Bezdin that was Matir, where the Tom became Batal, and we're going to be getting into that sugya now. Yerutz Mashmah, you bedafka need a Bezdin to be Matir, and otherwise, even if it's no longer Negeah, that would remain Aser, which, by the way, goes back to the sugya before, about why it is he didn't want to be Megala the Tam, which already leads you into the first level of how a Gezerah becomes Batal, simply by virtue of its not being accepted. As I said, you actually have to make a survey after the first year of a Gezerah to see if it's accepted. And there's a number of issues. It can be there are Gezerahs, which Ein Rav Yisrael Yechaylim La'amayit by. Most people just find it too difficult to handle these gezeiras. Many examples of such gezeiras where something was ne'asar in a particular door, and they weren't mekabelet because, for instance, the gezeiras on kusim. Gezeiras on kusim started very early, but the Gemara says that they weren't mekabelet. It was too difficult. There was too much business they were doing with kusim. They couldn't start being chesh at various things of theirs as being not kosher and so on. It was only much later that they were able to make a gezeira at times when the economic situation changed. And here as well, it could be that they put it in specifically into the Mishnah, but some suggest maybe indeed Rebbe Ubeit Dino tempted to be Matir Shemen. And at that point, the Chachamim refused to go along with it. So it was still being mentioned as Rebbe. Okay. No, they would have reinserted it into the Mishnah in order that people should know that Allah Kalamais. The Hashlakot, and also the things that are cooked by Akum. Now again, the question is why precisely this was Osir? Is it Osir because of Hashash of Isir? Is it Osir because of Chatnut? Here Rashi says this is another one of the Chatnut issues. Assuming that this is the standard Isser Bishul Akum, yes. In other words, even though you know 100% that the food is kosher, it has nothing to do with it being kosher. It's the very fact that it was nitbashel by an Akum that makes it Osir. Then, of course, the problem is, why isn't it included together with Pat V'Shemen? Then it's all one sugya. So Pat was Osir, that we'll see, is clearly only because of Chatnut. There was no chashash on the kalim that are used for baking bread, that there were B'nai Yeman of Isser, that we should Osir because of a chashash of actual non-kosher food. The same thing we'll see is true of the Shemen later, even though we don't have a chashash of non-kosher. We're going to get to that. So that's a shaila with the two separate stages. I mean, why wouldn't we have very early on ossered a non-Jewish caterer so that we shouldn't go to affairs to mix tzmash, but there's some other tam? And later on, really, Rashi is Seisr himself. He gives a different explanation for the shlokas. But again, patience. Just raising the issues now. Uchvashim shedarkan lateta tochon yayin v'chomet. There are also various types of pickling things, where the things that are pickled in the norm by utilizing wine or vinegar, wine vinegar, those things are also because of the chashash of the wine or the vinegar. And then there are the shilas of the fish. Tarit trufa. Now, tarit trufa is a type of small, like a herring kind of fish. And over there, because they're cut up into small pieces, we have to be cheshish for the possibility that there are similar non-kosher fish that are mixed with it. And also, tsir she'ein ba daga kilvit, that is shetet esbay. There is a type on, it's a major machlekes again. Rashi's approach is like this. The kilbit is a non-kosher water swimmer of some kind, possibly an insect, but it only will grow in the tzir of kosher fish. You put in non-kosher fish and it doesn't grow. So in other words, the type of fish that are used for tzir will, it's like the tequila, you know. You know it's real tequila if it's got a worm in it. Over here, you know it's real, meaning it's kosher tzir, if it has the kilbit in it. But the kilbit itself isn't kosher. That's a Rashi. Rabbi Yochanan has a totally different approach, which the kilbit is kosher and is an indication. What they used to do is they would leave some live fish in the mixture of the tzir to indicate what type of tzir this was. And that way, you could rely on it, because it was found out that it wasn't that, they would lose all their namanas. People were very makbid on particularly what kind of fish they were buying, which is a totally different approach. How do you survive eating all that herring? What do you have to ask the kilvit?
They're dead, though.
No, the kilvit's alive.
Right.
Obviously, there was it may not be a fish. Maybe the Gemara calls it a doga, but it could, anything that lives in water is called a doga. The achilik. Now, the chilik, the problem with the chilik is that it does not look kosher. Because at an early stage, it does not have snapir v'kas kesef. Because of that, it's easily confused with non-kosher meaning. So the case that we had before the tiri is not a problem. If it would be whole, it's easily differentiated from a non-kosher fish. Doesn't have non-kosher fish that are similar to it. The chilek, on the other hand, actually only grows snapir v'kas kesef later. Because of that, it can easily be confused with other fish that look like it. And because of that, even if it isn't trufa, you have to worry that there's going to be a mixture. Since over here you're talking about something that is a full organism, so we asked it, even if it's a small amount. And a koret shel chiltit. Now, a chiltit is a type of... You have a translation of chiltit over there? Because I don't know what... Do they try to offer a... Thanks. Probably what? No, that's the wrong note. Chiltit is a type of fish. No, the koret shel chiltit, you're in the wrong, the next piece. You're reading the wrong. Yeah, great. Does anybody have a name for, I can also translate it as a plant that has an exceptionally sharp taste. Does anyone have a translation of what type of plant it is?
That one gets $100.
Okay, in any event, it's not clear precisely whether this is a pre, this is a machlokas. Is it a pre? Is it a resin that is exuded on this plant? Asafoetida? That's what they translated as? Asafoetida is filthy? Maybe. Okay. Yeah. Okay, but in any event, it's a machlokas, whether it's the actual pre, whether it's the leaf, or whether it's an exudation that hardens on the leaf, and that then is picked off like a piece of amber. It's very, very sharp, and when you cut it, whatever thing that was shuman on the knife of the akum, because of the sharpness of the chiltis, it now becomes usur, because even if it was tam livgam, it's going to, because of its sharpness, it's going to make it now something that is suitable for achila. Because of that, we have to be chayish that the knife was treif that cuts the chiltis. Umelach shalkonadit, which we're going to discuss in the Gemara, are elu asurin, but only ba'achila, eni sur, eni sur, ana. And the Gemara is going to go through now each one of these things. What exactly is the problem? Ask the Gemara, chalav. L'may nechashla, what exactly is the problem of chalav? Imishum ichlufei, what, are we worried that maybe we're going to be sold non-kosher chalav? I mean, it's very easy to see the difference between kosher milk and non-kosher milk. Tahor is chiver, kosher milk is very whitish, whereas tamei milk is yellowish. So all of the minim that are available, if you take a look at the color of the other minim, they don't look white like cow's milk. They have a yellowish tinge to them. Like human milk. Now, the other species are not that same bright whitish kind of color. So how would we possibly make a mistake if it's a question of actually a straight out sale of a different mean? Imishum iruve, and if it's because of a mixture, so we're afraid maybe they put in some, and we wouldn't be able to detect it by the color, then it's very easy to test. Because all you need to do is attempt to let it separate out the way, and then you see that a cholav tameh cannot be separated properly. And because of that, you'll know that it's obviously not kosher milk. The omar mar cholav tahor omeid, you can coagulate tahor milk, but cholav tameh ain't omeid. You cannot coagulate, turn into cheese or butter, cholav that's tameh. Says the Gemara, well, that's great. How about if I want to drink a cup of milk, for God's sake? I mean, you're telling me, if I need it for cheese, fine. I eat a cup of ligvina. It doesn't say in the Mishnah you can't buy milk for cheese. Then ain't okinami. You could. But we're talking about over here that I want to actually use the milk itself. In my classic dish was a dip, a milk dip that they used to use in Bavo. That was the main food. So why would I let it turn into cheese? Well, I mean, so take off a little bit and test it. You don't have to use the whole thing, but you could always take a bit. Nishko minekoli v'nekoli. Well, it's not a good test. I'll tell you why. Because kiman de betahor nami ikan isyubi delo kaime lekalamilkam ala the milta. Look, in kosher milk, when you make cheese, there's always a little bit of the whey that is going to get mixed into the cheese. It's true that that's not milk, but people could make mistakes. It's mechalav. It's like a watery substance that's left afterwards, after all the fats have coagulated. So you've got now some of what looks like milk. So because of that, people may get confused. In other words, they may think that what they're looking at is the nesyube chalva, and in actuality, it's cholav tameh that was mixed in with it, but they won't realize that. And so because of that, we can't rely on this. V'bay teima, or you know what? Afilu teima de kabayla legvina. Ike de koi bene atfe. Even if people do require it for cheese, you'll say they'll make the whole thing, they'll make into cheese. Now that we're ready to say that people could get confused between the siube de chalva and cholav tameh, so what's to prevent the cholav tameh from being mistaken as the siube de chalva? So they'll make gvina, let's say. So maybe there was 5% of it was non-kosher milk. That 5% they'll see is liquid that gathers in the holes in the cheese. So they'll say, oh, well, that's, you know, it always gathers that way because that's the leftovers after the milk coagulated. And it won't be medactic to see that it's real milk and not the siube of milk. Because of that, once we're telling you that you cannot be aimed on it because of people making mistakes, so then already, even if the whole thing was turned into cheese, you can no longer rely on it. Because of that, they answered it. It's not to say it's not possible, but since people in general are not bekiyim, so we made it usur in order to avoid the problem. Okay, now again here, very early on, the question was raised about, what about places where goyim don't like to use cholav tameh? I mean, so again, is this a gezeira? Is it a blanket gezeira, or is it a practical comment on what might happen? If it's a practical comment, so then it should be very dependent on the locale. If there's not really a chashash and people don't use this kind of thing, why would I need to worry about it? Or what about in places where they don't use bichlal, like back in the Gvina, they don't use bichlal any of the ingredients that we listed before for making cheese? What about where they use fruit juice or something? The same kind of question. Would that be usur? Or what about where you buy your bread in a giant bakery? You don't tell me there's a problem of chatnut? What does that have to do with chatnut? Everybody buys in the same bakery. It's a standard bakery. They don't have a place to do. They're selling to Jew, non-Jew. What does that have to do with that? I'm standing going into somebody's house and eating the Christmas Eve challahs. I mean, yes, that's a chasnus problem. But buying something in a bakery, why would that be a problem? Again, our Gemara is going to start touching on some of these questions. The apat. Vapat. Omrif kano omrif yochanan. Pat lohutra bebeitin. Yeah, you should know that they were never matir patin beit din. Well, what do you mean they were never matir patin beit din? Are you trying to tell me that somebody obviously thinks they were? I mean, me thinketh he protested too much. What do you mean pat was never mutter bin bezin? I mean, michlal dika mandashori? Apparently somebody says it's mutter. Well, yes, actually, the maisa was that when Rav Dimi came, he said that pa'am achat yatsa Rebbe l'sadeh. Rebbe was out in the field. Ve'vi oved kochavim lefanav pat purani ma'afesa'a. And this guy brought this beautiful, excellent bread that is built, that they make in gigantic loaves that's built in the kind of ovens that we have, where the opening is from the side instead of from the top. They used to have these little, you know, pitot. That was really something, get a big, heavy loaf of bread. And Rebbe really said, oh man, this is beautiful. Why the heck did they ask her? This is kamana epatzu. I understand. I never saw such beautiful bread. Mara uchachamim laosra. Why would the chachamim ask her something so pretty? So now, what is that supposed to mean? Mara uchachamim. Well, we all know why they answered it. Mara uchachamim. Mishum chatnut, of course. No, come on. I mean, I'm saying I'm here in the middle of a field. There's no chatnut. I'm not in a city. Somebody's selling bread now on the way. This is so nice. I'm on the wild coast. And this guy's got these beautiful, delicious breads. And I can't buy it because of some kind of crazy gzera that has to do with chatnut that can't possibly apply over here. So, how do you explain this? So, ma ra'u chachamim losra basadeh. Now, everybody thought that that meant that Rebbe was saying it's really not usher. So, kisvurim ha'am. See, Rebbe was matir the pot. So, it comes along Rebbe Yochanan to say, no, it's not true, v'lohi. Rebbe lo hitir et ha'pot. Rebbe Yosef, hitamer, Rebbe Shmuel bar Yudomer. Oh, no, no, that wasn't the ma'isa. The ma'isa was that palm achat halach Rebbe l'makom echad. Once Rebbe was in a certain locale where there was nothing that the Talmidim had brought along. They didn't have any pot with them. And he was ra'ah pot tochuk Talmidim. So Rebbe said, I don't get it. There's no bakery in town. So Omar Rebbe ain't kan palter. So now everybody thought that Rebbe meant even a non-kosher bakery, a goyisha bakery, a paltar of kechavim. But that's not what he meant. He really meant the paltar of Yisrael. Said Reb Chalbo, afil l'man yomer palter avit kochavim, lo amr l'deleka palter Yisrael. Now we're getting into some kind of twilight zone over here. We're now analyzing what wasn't said. In other words, we just got finished saying, well, he never was matirit. So now we're saying, but even when they're matirit, they're only matirit if you don't have an alternative. Nobody was matirit, I thought. It was a mistake, you said. That gets even worse because it's the Rif Paskin's disciple and his matir based on this discussion. So something very strange is happening. So Reb Chalbo says, well, when we were matirit, which we weren't, we were only talking about where there was no Jewish bakery. But if there was a Jewish bakery, then we wouldn't have been matir the non-Jewish bakery. Whereas Reb Yochanan says, even the Mandi Omar who says that a palter of an akum would be kosher, that's only outdoors in the Sada, not in the middle of the ear. Alvo be'ir lo mishum chatnut. Over there, it's a problem because of chatnut. Now, what in the world is going on over here? I mean, so that we actually come out paskening, according to many rishonim, that we're going to be matir, what was a mistake. Why is that? Here's some fascinating discussions about this, possible theories. One of the most striking is, among the Rishonim, one of the most striking is like this. Normally, where a tam is bottle, it shouldn't apply at all. So nonetheless, in order that people shouldn't feel that they can utilize their own svara to deal with the gzeirah d'rabbanan, even though we won't be makpid that we need the normal standard of having a beit din that was greater than the beit din that created the yisr, because really, mitzad adin, if an isser is created for a specific reason that is mentioned, then if the reason is batel, you don't need a bezdin to be mavatel, according to some rishonim. But in order to avoid people doing whatever they feel like, we give a bezdin proclamation that it's mutter. Not that we need the bezdin to be matir, but we need the proclamation so that people should know that it's okay, but that it's not just based on the way they see things right now. We needed a bezdin, fine. How about if they thought there was a bezdin? So then they don't need a bezdin. Because now it turns out that the whole heter is based on, well, Rebbe was matirit, and the Rebbe of Bezdinoi went at him was matirit. But that's not true. But it doesn't matter. If people think that that's the reason that they're eating it, and it really makes sense anyway to eat it, so it's not that they're relying on their own judgment, so then you can leave it at that. It's a very creative way of understanding the machlokas over here between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Chalmai. So it turns out to be Nogea, even though it's not Nogea. In other words, Nogea, the imaginary heter, whatever it was that people thought they were being given over by heter, actually does become a heter. Remarkable. And then the mice, according to Mordechai, matter entirely, because it's according to him, and the Rambam brings this, that in Achinami, that there would be no iser of patakum at all now. So in other words, even if you have an alternative of pas Yisrael, there's no inyan in being makbid on pas akum. Okay, some say Dafka Pas Paltar, not okay. There's a lot of different shitas. Good. One of the most exciting sugyas is the cheese sugya. That is really, really exciting. Because, I mean, the Rambam is the one there that's most machmir. He holds that the cheese was a blanket issur. So even where the tam was not nogeya, so machlokes in which tam do we take? Do we take the nikur as the main problem? Is the or kevas the veil the main problem? In which case you would think that in places where they use vegetable catalysts, that there shouldn't be a problem at all. The Rambam is the one who's most machber, and he says it was a blanket iser to aser all gvinot akum, utilizing an excuse, but trying to create a distancing, ultimately. Like all of these isurim, we try to find an excuse. Once we find the excuse, we apply it as a blanket iser. With that chumra, it turns out then that any type of cheese would be osur, even though it's totally kosher, the cheese. And if the problem is because of the possible non-kosher milk that might get trapped inside of the thing, should also be negay in places where there's not a problem of cholavakum because of the government or because the goyim themselves don't like to mix things with non-kosher milk and so on and so forth. So, I mean, Lamaisa, that is the way that the Shulchan Aruch Paskas, the Ramah says, unless there is a minhag hamakom differently, the minhag has become not to eat gvinos avakum at all. So, unless there's a minhag kadmonim in your place that eats gvinos avakum, even though you know 100% it's kosher, it would still be a problem. Ivo once went ahead, and he was manchit v'yochel pat abe matzre. He would go out to the field, and he ate the pot of the akum on the borders of the field, so that it wasn't considered to be in the yishuv. And because of that, Armelu Rava v'temer of Nachum bar Yitzchak lo tishtoi na'ark. Here says lo tishtoi b'hade the aibu. Don't you shouldn't talk to aibu anymore because of this kind of behavior. But the correct girsa seems to be lo tishto minei the aivo. That because aivo is mezalzel and takonas of the chachomim, he should not be quoted in the Beis HaMedrash. Because we shouldn't be machshev his maimorim if he's not machshev our isurim. Because he went where it wasn't necessary. Maybe they held it was too close to the city, or there were alternatives, or maybe, according to those shitas who hold that this whole thing was imaginary and there was never a heter anyway, so that for sure he had no right to do it. So it's like a mida, ritvas is like a mida keneged mida. If he's someone who doesn't want to be machshev our shmuas, we shouldn't be machshev his shmuas. It's not that they put him into cherem or anything to say that you shouldn't talk to him, which is the mashmos of the gears that we, the way we have it. The Bach changes the gears. Okay, so we'll get into some exciting details tomorrow, Bezrat Hashem. Following is the daf from the year 2003 in the previous cycle.
So here we are, first day of Chol HaMoed Pesach, Tav Shin Samach Gimel, Lamed Hayom Mem Beis, on the bottom of Sechas Avedis Kechavim, Hashem and Shelahem, is where we are in the last line. So the next case that we had in the Mishnah was the listing of oil of Goyim as one of the things that is asur b'achila, but is not asur b'hana'ah. And we don't know why it is that there would be such an issur. So Shemen, Rav Amar Daniel Gazar Alav. Rav says that Daniel was the one who was gozer on Shemen. Rishmul Amar Zalifatan Shakelim Tmeyim Usaratan. Rishmul says there's no problem with Shemen per se, other than the question of perhaps it's having absorbed the taste. Well, right now the Gemara holds it means literally the tumah of kelim tameim, and therefore perhaps the oil would have to be tamei, and that's why we asked it. What is that supposed to mean? Atu guliyam al say taharot. You know, I mean, since when are we concerned with tumah? Not everybody eats things but tire. I mean, what do we? This for kohanim or eating truma? I mean, this is we're talking about here as something that's going to get everyone. How could that be what it means? No, sorry. Okay, change the word from tmeim. You take it a little too literally over here. Zulifatan shokelim asurin is what I mean. They're going to maybe cook up this stuff or let it sit in kelim that have shamnunis of isur in it. And therefore the oil will absorb the taste of lard or other oils that might have been used, and therefore the oil becomes asr. Because of that, we view it as isr. Now, there's a machlokus over here as to whether this means that there's a specific gezerah, and that actually, even where there would not be normally a hashash, so that, as we know, I mean, when it comes to other things generally, we say that if it's not a ben yomo, and it's considered to be noten tam ligam, we have no reason to assume that dafka within the past 24 hours the kli would have been used, and therefore b'diavad it's osur and so on. But it may be that this is a chumrah. This Tosfos understands that we're talking about over here a combination of ideas, in which we'll see that later on the Gemara seems to take for granted. Now, we want to avoid, again, a general contact with Akum. We're looking for reasons to avoid that contact. We can't simply say, don't have contact. So we have specific things that we prohibit for reasons, perhaps reasons that wouldn't stand on their own in some other context. However, all in all, when we end up not being able to share wine and not being able to share bread and oil and so on, this creates a general situation of rikhuk, but it needs to be justified. And so the justification for this would be a combination of the desire for us to avoid chatnut and ultimately involvement with goyim that leads to avodat kochavim itself, as we'll see later today. And therefore, Shmuel relied on this particular thing, even though maybe normally we would have said notein tam ligam would be mutter, but over here we're accepting that it was osur. That's how, in other words, that there actually is a sankona, even according to Shmuel. It's not just a chashash. We had this discussion before lagabe cholav akum. Is there a specific sankona cholav akum in the way that Sam Sofer was learning, or is there a chashash of taruvas, in which case if there's no chashash of taruvas, such as at times when the government doesn't give it, where people don't do it, and so on, then there also wouldn't be any issue. The same thing would apply lagabe shemen too. And if it's a manufacturer, it doesn't manufacture anything else, it would be mutter if it's not a real Takona. This is, as we'll see, Amaklokis Tanoim, although Lamais, it's not Nogia because we end up having been Matir, this is, we'll see later on. Omele Shmuel and Rav. Now, Shmuel Tainis to Rav, who said that it was a Takana of Daniel, Bishlaimel Vidida Aminas Lipatancho Kilima Srima Saratan, according to me, that learns that there's a Hashash over here of Iser. So, okay, that means that it's a recent issue. And I know the Fiatra of Yisr by Shmuel Bamarta. When Rav Yitzchak Bar Shmuel came and he said, well, Rabbi Smaloi was Derech, and Derech means that he said it as a drosha betzibur, meaning that it was matar betzibur. He said benetzivim, which was where the big yeshiva was at the time.
Which is Seben on the Turkish border, they helped to do that.
Wonderful. That Shemen, Rabbi Yehuda, ubeit dino nimno alavitiru. That Rabbi Yehuda, this is referring to Rabbi Yehuda Nisiyah, the grandson of Rabbi, that Rabbi Yehuda and his Bezdin, they actually had a special session in which they were monui and paskin to be matir the Isser of Shemin. And the reason that they paskin to be matir is because they held that there's no basis for it at all in halacha, because Nisan Tam of Gam is really mutter. And the basis of the original assumption that there was an Isser was that even though it was Nisan Tam of Gam, was after 24 hours, it was Osir, and therefore they said, look, it was a mistake, and we're not going to stick with that psak. But according to the way the Rav is learning, you Rav who say, Liamed Daniel Gazara love. Well, what does that mean? If this was a takana from the time of Daniel, you're telling me that Daniel Gazar, and comes on Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, and Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, again, this is not Rabbi Yehuda Nasi even Rebbe, this is Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, who is two generations later. So he came along in Mavata way. Don't we have a halacha of Atznan? Ein beidim yachol levatel divrei beidim chaveiro elu yinkein gadol emenu bechokhmah uviminyan. That a bezdin cannot come along and cancel out something that another bezdin was mitakein, unless the second bezdin is greater both in chokhmah and minyan. Most learn that minyan means, I should say most learn, I mean the truth is there's three basic pshatim. Minyan, that it means in terms of the age of the odd bezdin. Minyan, in terms of the number of Talmidim that are associated with that person, and therefore the minion of Talmid HaChachamim that are involved in the Diyun. And then there's the Rambam's Prata Minyan, and of course this is the Rambam always, who holds that it's the sum total of knowledge of Torah Sheba'al Peh that defines the nature of Torah Sheba'al Peh, which is why he felt that you could be Mechadish the Smicha, if you get the total knowledge to agree that we will now be Masmich people to be in charge of that knowledge. According to him, the getter of Minyan is the number of the Chachmei Hador who ascribe to this Besdin and accept its psakim and so on. And therefore, and there's communication with this Besdin and it's from all over the world, and the number of people that are so associated defines the authority of the Besdin.
Does the Besdin have a certain amount of people?
No, the Besdin itself is a standard Besdin. That's why I can't mean Minyan the number of people in the Besdin.
So Rama said, in effect, it was a Google standard. How often it was cited?
Correct. And no,
the Besdin is three people.
That's a very good, very good number.
The Besdin is three people.
The Besdin is, no, it would be a Besdin 70 people. It's the Besdin HaGadol of Yisroel. But there are some who learn that maybe, in fact, it means a Besdin that they were Mosifit. In which case it would start off with the Besdin 23, and then they couldn't come to an agreement. I mean, but that's one sheet that is very far-fetched. That it's talking about that we add to Anshe Knesset Gedolah means the sum total of the Chacholim that we're associated.
The main thing is a deliberately expanded court.
No. It doesn't mean at any one time either. The Anshe Knesset Gedolah was stretched over generations, and they didn't have one time in which they were the Knesset Gedolah in which everyone was aligned.
No, but I'm saying the format of 120 as opposed to...
I'm saying that is not... That's over time.
That's over time.
Yeah. It's not that there's a Besdin of 120. So, in any event, how do we understand... I mean, certainly, Rabbi Yehuda Messias Besdin was not capable of canceling a Takana of Daniel. Oh, Marley, so Rav said to Shmuel, what are you asking me from that Luddite? Smaloi. Rabbi Smaloi, you're going to use him as an authority. Shani Ludai, the Mizalzalim, you know these Luddites, they're always being Mizalzal and everything. And as you said, they don't take seriously the psak of the Besdin, of Daniel, so they're going to be Mizalzal in the Takana. Omar Leitha Shmuel said, Ashlachle, I'll send him a recording of that comment. Yes, Rav said, well, maybe we should look at this differently. In any event, he didn't want him to send him a recording, but Lamaisa, I mean, Rav was trying to denigrate the Hitnagdut to the Takona by saying that. But what he meant was, and I would clarify, Omar Rav, he said, look, in Haim Lo Dorshu, so perhaps Rabbi Smaloi in giving over, of course he was right in what he said. Yes, Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, I don't mean to suggest that he made it up. I admit that there was such a thing as Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya's husband. However, they made a mistake. And just because they didn't darshan, that there was a basis in the Torah for this from the time of the Neil, that means we shouldn't darshan. I argue on him. And Ananda Ludashina. Vaktiv, does it not say in the Pasuk, Vayosem Daniel Alibo, Asher Loyit Gael Bepat Bagameler, Uvien Mishtav, note that it uses the Lashon Rabin Mishtav, which is Mash Vishtei Mishtaota Katu Medaber, two liquids, is what he had in mind. And he set it upon his heart, which means that there was a conscious determination that this was the way in which he was going to act lahalocha, not to eat the pat akum, which is the pat baga melach, not to drink from the yayin, which was stam yinam, and also echad mishtashemet. So he accepted a takona not to eat shemen. And Rav holds that when we talk about Daniel, who was at the Godel Hador, and he was alibosam, so that means Ali Bowie held that this was the halachic, correct way to do it, and therefore l'chol Yisrael hora, the eat paskin, this is the way that one should act. Whereas Shmuel said this was a personal kurma that he made on himself because of the fact that he had been isolated there in Bavel and was dependent on Nebuchadnezzar and didn't want to get any closer than was absolutely necessary, but it doesn't mean that he held that every Jew in the world has to be known this way. So Ali Bosam, yes, for himself personally, but certainly l'chol Yisrael hora. There was no general takona, and therefore, there's no problem with Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya coming along and saying, look, the fact that people were knowing in Shemin, Isser, because of the thought that it's going to be also in Meisetam with Gam is Isser, in Meisetam with Gam is Mutter, and therefore we don't need to worry about it.
Is it not a stretch to call Shemin something that is Shatui?
No. Even though it's a different. Yeah, well, I mean, even though you can't be shoset on its own, but nonetheless, it's something that it's the chashivas of it is because of its liquidity. Mm-hmm. Even though it's used as a dip. But it's shemen qua shemen that's so important. It's the olive oil that's important. And we're not going to call it a ma'akal. Now, wait a minute. You're telling me that Shemen was a Gezerah of the Neo. I mean, we know when the Gezerah of Shemen came from Bali. Not the island, but the Chokham. And he goes, well, Omar, Bali, that Avima Nota quoted Ra the same, that Pitan, Shamnan, Yenan, Uvnotehen, that these four issues are one of the Shmona Asar Davarim. So those were the famous Shmona Asar Davarim, which they met in the, of Kanani Ben Yarion, and they had a terrible meeting over there. They had to actually threaten with death anybody that tried to depart. They had the watchmen put up with guns at the gate, and they said, look, we're coming to a vote in this thing that we're Rabu Tamir Bechame over its bonds, Tamir Bechelo. They ended up passing Takonas, 18 Takonas that the Bechelo had to accept. And those 18 Takonas included one that had to do with various Archakot from Goyim. And we'll discuss them at length. So that Pat, Shemen Yain, Stam Yain, and Bonot, which is strange, I mean, Bonot seemed to be Nisabiraiska to marry Goyim, which we'll talk about in a number of days. All of these things are part of the Shmona Asrei Davar. Now, maybe, I mean, I know the standard answer to this kind of thing is we've had such things before in the Chulin. So, Vachitema Asa Daniel. Maybe you'll say that Daniel did in fact make the Gzera the way Rav suggested. But Daniel's Gzera perhaps was bottled because people did not accept it. So the Neil was Sam Alibo, like Rav said, Veloki Bill, Viatu Talmidei Hillel V'Shamai V'Gozur, maybe now the Talmidei Hillel V'Shamai goes to the Yud Ches Dovah, they made the Gzera, and then the Gzera was in fact Mitzkapelet. In Kain Maya Sa'adutei de Rav, so then what's the point that Rav is making? By the way, the Lashon of Asadutei de Rav is very problematic here, because Asadutei means that he was saying over a Kabbalah that he has, was an Edut. And the way the Gemara quoted this before was Rav's own diak in the pasuk. He named all the Dikuananot. I mean, why shouldn't we also be Madaiyik? He should have just said, so what was Rav's point? It wouldn't be a riot to Rav. And on this, based on this Gemara, and on the difficulty of bringing a riot from Alibo, that it should mean that he necessarily was Mora Halacha L'chol Yisrael, there are those who suggest that indeed we see over here that Rav was giving over a Gemara, that he had been Makabel. And what he was saying is that, look, the way that I was macabre understanding this part is that this is the remnant, the takona that he made. In which case, it was a sadduce. But if Lamaisa, that takona never was mitpashetet, then what would be the point of it? Forget about it. I mean, it's a historical note, but it has no implications on Locha. So that can't be what the answer would be, at least according to Rav. Ella must be that there were stages in this gezeira. The Neil Gazar Lav Be'ir. We already saw that there were distinctions that we saw yesterday with Gabi Pazakon. The distinctions between doing things in the city and between doing things outside of the city. In the city we were gozer because of Chatanut. Outside of the city initially we're not gozer because of Chatanut. Comes along now the Talmidei Hillel V'Shamai, and they were gozer Afilu V'Sada. And that is why there were two stages. Okay, fine. Let's even say that it wasn't the Neil, okay? Let's even say that it was Shammai the Hillel. I mean, so I don't understand, how does that answer the underlying problem, which Shmuel is pointing out? That I don't care how you're understanding this, if it isn't a chashash because of the taste of Isser in it, which explains that, look, any Besdin in any generation can argue on any Besdin from any previous generation about an interpretation of Halakha. There's no such thing as meaning a Besdin greater than a previous Besdin. As long as it's a Besdin, they have a right to interpret Halakha according to their vision in their times. It doesn't matter if Moshe Rabbeinu's Besdin said otherwise. I disagree with Moshe Rabbeinu's Besdin. It's Tarsha about that. I don't have to accept some previous notion of what a Halakha is.
As opposed to Gezerah.
So the way I'm learning, the Shmuel's question still stands. Fishlev, the way I'm learning, they're arguing in Halakha whether you're going to tell me that Nais and Tom of Gam is Mutter or Aser. So fine, they held it was Aser, we held it's Mutter, we're Maser. That's perfectly okay. But the way you, Rav, are learning, so I ask you from Daniel, good, not Daniel. So not Daniel, so Shammai Vehilo. You're telling me that Rabbi Yehuda Nesiah went ahead and was Matir, a Gezerah, a Shammai, and Hillel? How could he do that? I mean, first of all, in general, If we know the general rule is that Zatran ain beidin yochol abatel divrei beidin chaviro elayim ken gadol elayim v'chokma uvminyan. But even if, I'll have you know that this is even worse, because if you are claiming that these takonas were part of the Yudchet Davar, then we're really in Gahak Tzitzaris. Because the Yudchet Davar are unique. Because even if Eliyahu HaNavi would come with his Bezdin, which is bigger than the Bezdin of Shammai v'Hillel, we still wouldn't be able to be Matir the Yudchet Davar. Because the Ode, Amar Rabba Bar Barchan Amar Rav Yochanan, Bakol Yochol Batel Beitin Divrei Beitin Chaviro. Anything at all, one Beis Din can cancel what another Beis Din said. I mean, yeah, some things they have to be bigger than whatever. But Chutz Mishmonah Atzar Davar, except for those things, Shafilo Yavo Elio Beit Dino, even if the greatest possible Beit Din would come, Ein Shomimo, we pay no attention to him. We'll see in a moment. We pay no attention to him, in which case, the question against Rav stands. So, how's Rav going to answer that? Omer of Misharsha, Omer of Misharsha, well, I'll tell you very simply, Matam. Well, what was the reason that the Shmonasar Davar are unique? Ho'il upashat isuram barov Yisrael. The reason is, because anything that was made, and here we get into Rabbi Yaakov's question of yesterday, it's not simply any takona that this applies to according to Rambam. It's those things that are made as a siyag to protect actually Surah Terah. So any siyag that a Beis Din is gozer, once it is mitpashet, Barov Yisrael, it's considered to be now something that is out of the hands of the Beit Din. Because now Yisrael has been mekabel on themselves. So when Yisrael is mekabel something on itself, it doesn't help for Beis Din to say otherwise. And therefore, even if the Beis Din will cancel what the previous Beis Din says, it's too late to do anything about it. So once we had it as part of the Shmona Esrei Davar, now we're assuming, the Rambam assumes, that the Shmona Esrei Davar are simply examples of such a thing. Tosfos learns the Shmona Esrei Davar are absolutely unique. And the reason they're unique is because of the death penalty that they asserted. In other words, they were ready to kill. And it was apparently an extremely difficult thing to do. It caused an immense amount of upheaval, of social upheaval, and that created a lot of problems with Talmidei Shammai v'Hillel.
That's
the thing. In other words, Tosfos is saying the fact that something was accepted Barov Yisrael isn't the point. But if it was accepted Barov Yisrael, the way that the Shmona Esrei Davar were, with this tremendous mysterious effort to get it done, you can't just go ahead and cancel that because you're a bigger best.
Even if things have changed dramatically.
Correct.
Right,
and it's because of the Mesirut Nefesh. Again, the Rambam does a five today, and that's already not normative, because the last Pesach that we have on these issues is the Rambam. So now, since in this case, Shemin, specifically when it comes to the din of the oil, Lo Pashat Yisro Barov Yisrael, there we don't have a situation which Pashat Yisro Barov Yisrael. And it happens to be that we know for a fact, the Amr of Shmuel Bar Abba, Amr of Yochanan, Yashvu Rabotenu Ubatku al Hashemen, they actually made a survey. And they discovered Shalom Pashat Yisur Barov Yisrael. They discovered that it was not accepted. Now over here there's a machlokas, according to most, between Rashi and the Rambam. Rashi learned it was never accepted. The Rambam seems to learn if at a particular time it's not accepted. Though the Kesef Mishnah brings the Rashi here as an indication, it's not absolutely clear from the Rambam.
A dying moment.
Yes. I just said that.
I thought the particular time I was thinking Rambam, not Rashi.
No, I said Rashi says that it was never accepted.
So I'm asking, so a dying moment is not yet, but maybe at a later time it happened.
No. Adayim means it hadn't ever happened. Meaning at that time it still hadn't happened and therefore it had never happened. So Mimela, according to Rashi, it's specifically this case because it was never accepted. According to the Rambam, it is currently unaccepted. The difference is, however, and this is important to going to get the next piece of the Gemara, if the Gezer is never accepted, according to the Rambam, it becomes bottled by itself. Whereas, according to others, don't make that distinction. It'll never become bottled by itself, because there's always the problem of the Zilut of the Beit Dina that we discussed yesterday in the Ritva, that we need to have some bezin officially canceled. However, if it had been mekubal, and then later it turns out that it was not something that people were able to be machzik b'yadon, then even a smaller bezin can be mevatel divrei bezin shel chavero, because we need a psak bezin in order to be mevatel. So it means, according to the Rambam, there would be three different levels. So you'd have something that was never muchtas, because both of them, and he has the Seder Advarim, is that Bezdin always takes a survey at the end of 12 months to see if it was mitzvah shefa. Not if it wasn't mitzvah shefa, it's bottle. It meant that the gezeira was never chal. Then we have surveys that could be taken later, even when there was an assumption that earlier it had spread. And then we can be mevatel it, even a Bezdin is katan. And then we have takonites that were made that are not siyogim, but were takonis for various reasons, chulris and so on, that were taken on during the times, perhaps as, things that were necessary socially and so on. There's a machlokus, by the way, about whether the prusbol is considered to be a siyog or whether it's considered to be a takonis. Because normally you view kulas as being chumras, as being non-siyogim, and a chumra would be a siyog. Prusbol seems to be a kulas. It's a whole, a very fascinating discussion. About that.
How long you say, you don't think we have the first year? It could be done later also. How much later?
No. The first year is what defines it. It wasn't done in the first year. According to Rambam,
anyone could do it in any event.
Yeah, but there's a difference. One is butto by itself, but the other one requires an act of the court to be allowed to it.
How long?
At any time. 1,000 years later, whatever. But a bezin could then be mevat. So again, I interrupted the Seder. According to the Rambam, if it's something that was mispashit b'chol Yisrael and was begetter's yom, there's nothing to do about it. And even a bezin is godol himenu, cannot be mevat. If it was a takona, then you need a bezin that is godol himenu b'chol chumaminu. If it was something that was never mispashit, or it was a halacha, then any bezin, meaning not mitzvashet after the 12 months, and any bezin, even one that's smaller, can cancel or argue on the halacha. And if it was something that within the first 12 months never ended up becoming mekubal on everybody, you don't even need an act of bezin, and it would be batel mevatel. We had an additional element yesterday, the negiah patakum, which was the mitzvah siddush, that if people thought that it had been acted upon in the courts, then that's enough. You don't really have to act upon it to be matzer, because the whole din is only a din in zilusa. That people should not be mizalzel in the Beit Din, and if people believe that there was a Beit Din, so even if there wasn't, there's no zilzel, so there's no point in giving it an actual act of a court. Okay, but that's a fascinating approach by the Ritva. So over here comes along now the Shemen Takon, and we found out that it wasn't mitbashet. As we saw that Reb Shmuel Bar Abba said, they made a survey. It turned out that most people were not keeping the Shemen Gezerah because they didn't have any Shemen available in many places. The Samchu Rabotenu, Al-Divrei Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. And we were so much on Reb Shimon Gamliel, and furthermore, this was Reb Yehuda Nasiya, furthermore, we were so much in this issue on Reb Elazar Reb Tzadok, who said that and in this particular case, this is where Rashi is learning, we have the additional fact that it was never accepted, and Mamela didn't really require a takana of Beth. And so Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya allowed himself to be the one that would be matched this in order to avoid any misunderstandings of it. And in this case, as Rashi says, they never were at any time, actually, had accepted this takona. And then came, well, tzibur yecholim la'amod ba. Where do we see this? D'amar avana bar ahava, my craw, how do we know that there's a din of the tzibur needing to respond to the Beit Din's takona? Because we find that the Navi speaks ill of Klal Yisrael and saying, b'meira ten elim, you curse yourselves with a curse, meaning you're makabo a gezerah. And any kabbalah that gezerah has a cherem attached to it, which is the lashon of aror and kola, just like all of the britot of the Torah. And nonetheless, you come back and you steal, meaning, and you ignore the gezeira that you yourself, so you steal from me, kofim is to be taken from me. Why? Because it's hagoy kulo. It's because this thing only works when the entire nation accepts it. Iika goy kulo in, but ilo lo. So the Navi is saying that a meirat and norim is only possible if hagoy kulo is involved in it. Gufa, getting back to what Bali said, which was a very strange thing about Benotehen, that Benotehen being from the youth says Dvorim, what is that supposed to mean? Now, first of all things didn't really make any sense. He said, Pitan Shamnam Yenan Ubnotehen are all part of the Shmona Asrei Davar. What do you mean Benotehen? Omrim Nagabar Yitzchak, Benotehen doesn't mean not to marry a Goyen. Benotehen means Gazro, Benotehen Nidot Me'arisotam. What it means is that they made a Gezerah that any female Goya, even an infant, in her cradle, is considered to be a Nida, and this created a tremendous rechuk because of Dinam of Tuma from Goyim. And so Memela, it was a takona again to avoid any contact. And that's what it meant. Now, Geneva says, and he was quoting Rab, that the truth is kulam mishum avodat kochavim gazru behem. I know that people talk about chatnut as if that's an end in itself, but it's not true. Chatnut is not an end in itself. Our problem is that this is a direct continuation, as we'll see, of Avram Avinu's own approach of distancing oneself from Avodas Kochavim, not specifically from people who are Avodas Kochavim. And that's the way the Masechta begins, with a distancing from societies that support Avodas Kochavim because of the way that this ends up giving support to Avodat Kochavim itself. Mm-hmm. And that's the real issue here. We don't want any grounds, basis, or possible closeness to Avodat Kochavim itself. And all of these things were meant to avoid that type of content. The Chiyasur of the Acha Bar Ada Amrev Yitzchak, what he said was, and I know this doesn't make sense on the surface, he said, Gazrua Pitan Mishum Shamnan, that they said that Patakum is prohibited because the oil is prohibited after all. What? Wait a sec, this is an interruption, obviously. A parenthetical comment. What my ume de shem and me pie? What would be the difference between oil and bread? I mean, neither of them are particularly exciting. Sorry. Okay, let me correct that. Gazrua Pitan Vishamnan Mishum Yenam. Now certainly wine is exciting. And if we will allow, I mean, we'll allow people to drink together, we know what the next step is. I mean, so, okay, if we don't let you have a party, the likelihood is you're not going to end up drinking the wine either. So we will gozer that as the first step. Because yayin can bring you, I mean, bread and oil can bring you to drinking wine. Wine can bring you to sexual relations with their banot. And the banot can bring you to the worst thing. And that's davar acher, I won't even mention that. And that's Avodas Kochavim. And that's the real problem.
Are we close to being gozer zero the way that we just went?
No. What we're saying is that it's a long series of failures, and one leads to another. So it's, in a sense, it's kulo chara gezeira, which, when things became more problematic, we added Isurim. By the way, that has a very special place when it comes to yayin. Because remember, we said before that the reason that we answered yayin is because we're koshish for yayin netzach. So how could you possibly say now that no, actually it's because of chatnut, which is becoming, I don't understand. Are you not koshish for yayin netzach? We've shown him a very bothered by this. And before we said, stam yayin is a chashash, that maybe the Yidi guy was actually menaser. And what they say is that there were really two stages of this. That initially, it wasn't known for goyim to be menaseh, and that it became more nafut as various Christian religions took on popularity, and then the pagan aspects, the people became more religious, the pagan elements of nisuch became much more common than they had been previously, interesting enough. And therefore we were more choshish because of the chashash of touching in yayin netzach than we had been earlier, where the yayin was really entirely a social issue. And so then we're left really with two completely different elements when it comes
to the
yayin.
In the Christian ideology, the wine is central to their
worship. Yes, that's a very important point. Yeah.
It's the blood flow.
Right, that's right. So wine took on a very important place in the consciousness of Akum, and so they would be involved with it. They would start thinking about it a lot.
But wasn't it necessarily about Azura?
Well, at that point, certainly the pagan elements were very, very strong. I mean, so there are two elements. Here we're talking about the coming to ultimately the Chatnut, and from there to Banot. Now, so this Mishum Davar Acher is a euphemism, as I don't want to even mention the word Avodah Zarah. Now, there's also a different use of Davar Acher, which means an entirely different issue, which is the next thing. Va'al Davar Acher, and we also were gozer on an entirely different issue, Mishum Davar for some other issue that we're not going to discuss here. Which we'll discuss in a moment. Now, wait a minute. What is this supposed to mean? Were gozer not marrying a goy because he may come to Avodah Zarah? I always thought it was usher in the Torah to marry a goy. I mean, v'no tehem, isn't that the Araisa? Doesn't it say, lo tichatein bam? No, the Araisa was only the Shiva Umot and the Sharo Vikohavim lo. The Torah did not say the other goy. It was only the Canaanites that were in Eretz Yisrael. And this gezeira of the Shmonah Esrei Davar included other goyim. You have to remember the gozer after the Shara de Kochavim. But Rav Shimon Bar Yochai doesn't know that. What about according to Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, who says, remember, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai is the one that's Rabbi Shimon, he's Dorish Taima de Kro. So according to him, when it says, Ki Yasirat Imcha Me'acharai, why does the Torah say, because you know what will happen, next thing you know is that they will turn your child away from me, and they will end up worshiping foreign gods. And I know that myself. So if the Torah says it, it's kind of becoming to be marvah, some additional thing. So he says that comes the rabot kol ha-meisirot. Any type of goy is going to end up being meisir your child. And the Torah is now answering that as a deraisa. So ma'ik alameimar. So then why do we need the 18 takonas if it was as a deraisa? No. You'll notice that it's the lotit chatein, which means marriage. Now obviously, when it says bincha lotikach, lebincha, and so on, kicha means kiddushin. Obviously, there's no real kiddushin, but there's such a thing as acting, as a common law marriage. So acting in marriage is what the Torah asks. Because there, indeed, you have an opportunity for the type of contract that's going to bend your mind. You know, you're living with a person over time, and in living with a person, you end up, you know, you're raising your children together, and ultimately you have mixed religions and a Christmas tree in the house and so on. But that's a disaster. Yeah. But there was certainly no iser to simply promiscuously sleep with a non-Jew, and therefore we needed to have an iser that would aser even derech znut. And so they came along in the Yudchet Dvarim, and they answered Znut with Goyim.
Is that only according to Rishon Bayochai, that living in marriage with non Ovi Avodah Zarah?
No, this is how we pass. The only question was whether Shiva, Umayis, or all of them. Now, wait a minute. But Znut, we know, is a very ancient thing, because they were going to burn Tamar. Now, why were they going to burn Tamar? I mean, all that Tamar had done was slept with someone there at Znut. I mean, so it must have been that they had a very firm takana against sleeping with non-Jews. The assumption was, I mean, even though there were no Jews at the time, but since they were treating themselves as Jews, and from the time of Avram, I mean, it was Shema, the Derech Hashem, then that Derech Hashem gave them a specific national identity. And they answered sleeping around with people that weren't on that derech, to the point that they were ready to kill for it. So if Znut, already in the Beit Din of Shame, is the first time that we find that there were gozer on Znut, if they vayom Yehuda hotziyua v'tisareith, which of course was the reason that when they found out that it was Yehuda, there was no problem, because Yehuda was Jewish. The only point was that they assumed that Tamar had been sleeping with somebody, they didn't think it was one of them, so there were only none so-called Jews.
It wasn't about the Shuzi of Amal Ashok.
Right. Although they may have been more masked on the getter of Znut of Yavama. You know. So, in any event, it is that you have a tzareit. Okay, that's true. But that's only because she is female. You see,
Yehuda was a male, had no problem sleeping with a non-Jewish female. The reason is because a female is more likely to be drawn to the male than a male who's simply picking up a harlot is going to be drawn to a prostitute.
Emotionally.
And therefore, there was no gezeir originally at the time of shame of not sleeping with a prostitute who was non-Jewish. So Yehuda didn't do anything wrong. But Tamar, who was sleeping with a non-Jewish male, and would therefore possibly end up emotionally involved, that they had made a takana about, and they were very careful about it, and so only when they found out that, no, it was me, then that was okay. And so they were, you know, mavatal the sock on her. So therefore, there were two levels over here. You see, Dioraita, when we say Dioraita over here, we don't mean a Dioraita. We mean the case mentioned in the Torah, which was the Beit Din Shel Shem. They had only been Gozer, an Ovid Kechavim, who sleeps with a Bat Yisrael. Because a Bat Yisrael may become emotionally involved, and Mash Abat Reishi will follow him. Abo Yisrael HaBal Ovid Kechavim, we did not make a takana for a Jewish male not to sleep, stam, promiscuously, not derech chatznut, with a goya. That was okay. They came along, now in the Yudchet Dvarim, the Talmidim of Shammai Vehillel, and they were gozer that a Jewish male should not sleep with a non-Jewish female. So, Abal Avedet Kochavim. I thought that that was like a big deal. Pinchas killed somebody for that. I don't get that. Yisrael Abal Avedet Kochavim, that's Abal Avedet Kochavim. If Pinchas was allowed to kill somebody, so obviously there's a problem with it. So how can you say that Shammai and Hillel were the ones, or the Talmidim of Shammai and Hillel were goes? No. Dioraita b'farhesia, no, excuse me. The issue over there wasn't the znut. The issue over there was the fact that it's making a public statement. And that's where, that's kemat seshaya, like what happened with Zimri and with Pinchas. But Otu Inu, they came along and they said, the act per se is prohibited. Afilu bitsin'ah. Oh, but wait a minute. Isn't there an earlier takana about promiscuous relations with non-Jews, even by Jewish males? But the Beit Din of Chashmonai made a gzeir about that, didn't they? Bitsin'ah nami Beit Din shel Chashmonai gazru. Dichiata rabimi amar, Beit Din shel Chashmonai gazru, that Yisrael HaBal Ovedet Kochavim, a Jewish male sleeping with a Goya, would be chayev because of Najga, meaning they treated her as if he had slept with Anida, Drabonan, and that means that he would get specifically a Malkus Drabonan, Marcus Mardus, for sleeping with Anida Drabonan. So it's just like they would go to, let's say, Anida on Bas Yisrael, and somebody would sleep with her. So he would be chayev Malkus Mardus. Furthermore, they called her a shivcha, and by calling her a shivcha, remember that the Rambam's shita is, and it, which includes taking this Gemara into account, that a shivcha is actually prohibited because of loyeh kadesh, which means not to enter the type of relationship that can never end with kiddushin, here with yichus, and she has no yichus. So there was here a gezeira min rabbanan to call her also a shivcha, and they called her a goya, which is the gimel, meaning as if he was actually married to her, even though he was only sleeping with her, so that they would give him markets for that too, as if he had married a goya. And they called her an Eishes Ish. Now, even though there's no such thing as an Eishes Ish, perhaps, by a goya in terms of a Jew, but they gave her a din of an Eishes Ish to punish him separately. You know, they get four separate malchus for this. There's a machlokus we've shown him whether this means even a non-Jewish, a non-married Jewish, right, a pnuya non-Jew, is an Eishes Ish. Or whether this means that we would treat the marriage of a goya as a real marriage to a Jew, as if he slept with an Eishes Ish. But that if she were in fact unmarried, even in common law, then he would only be chayav three times.
Four separate malkias.
He also, Robin said, no, the gezeira wasn't Eishes Ish. The gezeira was to give him a din of a zonah. Again, here's my focus, whether we're talking about a kohen, that she should be called a zona. Remember that zona is a very halakhic definition. It doesn't mean a harlot. It means someone who is nivellus, a biyasura, and their kohen sleeps with her and so on. It doesn't have any implications regarding prostitution. because even a real prostitute is not a zonah, according to Moshe Tzagavi the Kohen, or whether this is a new din that a Yisrael should be chayav as if he is a Kohen sitting with a zonah. That's a machlokes. But in any event, there was an ancient gezerah from the time of the Chashmonaim. What do we need the gezerah of Shammai and Hillel's Talmidim for? Ah, but that was also a separate stage. Because kigazur beit din osher Chashmonaim biyah, the beit din of the Chashmonaim only ushered actual sexual relations. Avo yichud lo. They did not make any takana against being alone with a non-Jewish woman, because after all, even if you are alone with her, the worst that's going to happen is you end up sleeping with her, and sleeping with her itself is only a takana, and so on and so forth, and they didn't make a takana for that. They came along, and they were gozer, even yichud. So I feel yichud. But yichud was also an earlier takana, says the Gemara. But Yichud was the president of David after the Maisa of Amnon v'Tamar, because the Amor of Yudah, both Tasha Agazu al Yichud. But after they saw what happened with Amnon and Tamar, they said, you know, if this can happen, even in family situations like this, with such important people, I mean, certainly we should be ushering Yichud. Yes, it's true. But they ushered Yichud of Abad Yisrael, even of Pluya. Okay, that is a big stretch. I mean, because again, what's going to happen? Worst comes to worst, you'll sleep with her. It's not the end of the world. But they made a takona that you shouldn't be alone with her in order not to come to sleep with her. But Mela, that's in order to protect the Jewish in the relationship with the Kedushas Yisrael. But for a Goya, which is not common. I mean, how often would a Jewish man alone with a Goya? I mean, to be alone with a Jewish woman happens all the time. But this made they weren't gozer on. Yichudav adat kochavim lo. Came along now, the Talmidim of Shammai the Hillel, and made an additional takana, also Inu, and they were Gozru Afilu Ayichud Avaris Kachavim. So they said, you're not even allowed to be alone with a Goya. Wait, how could you say that David's Beis Din was the source of the Yisru Yichud and Bas Yisrael? I thought that's an Yisru Raisa Yichud. Yichud, the Bas Yisrael, if you already noticed, Avi Gemara has managed to get in every last takana and possible perfect of anything that has to do with these types of relations. So Yichud Batisos of Yerayim, the Amr of Yochud and Meshuv Rabbi Shimon ben Yotzadek. Remez liYichud ben HaTorah Minayin. Where do we see that the Torah itself takes into consideration in Yisra of Yichud? Shinemar ki Yisitcha Achicha ben Imcha. What is that supposed to mean? When your brother, who is your mother's son, will try to seduce you into worshipping Avodas Kochavim. He said, well, and if it's your father's son, then he won't. What's going on? The name may see, the Navi no may see. Hello, the chat is like this. If you don't have a common mother, you see, this boy's not going to be in the house. And if he's not going to be in the house, you're not going to get all that close to him as a stepbrother. So, Mimela, there's not a problem of Hasata. The Torah wants to talk about a case. Your brother was a son of your mother, and therefore will be alone with her in the house together with you, and they'll grow up together. And then one day he'll come to you and they'll say, you know, I had a wonderful experience at church, why don't you join me, and so on. So over there, Enochinami, you have to worry about it. So you see from here that a bane, and only a bane, can be mityached in imo, but somebody who's not a true bane, Enocher mityached in kol harayotshe b'torah, being as the incest taboo is strong enough for mother, son, not to suppose that they're going to end up sleeping with each other, there's no issue Yichud. But when we don't have a sufficiently powerful taboo, then we have to make a takona of Yichud against all other arayot. So why did we need David's takona? Obviously, because the Araisa, the Yichud, the Araisa, refers to Isurei Erva that don't have taboos attached, like an Eishes Ish. So over there, okay. The Yisidi Araisa is where there's going to be, if you end up sleeping with her, you're going to be over a terrible Isser. But what David HaMelech is saying, a Pnuya, what's the Isser sleeping with a Pnuya? So Mimela, they never asked Yichud, comes along David, and because of the Maisa Shahaya with Amnon and Tamar, they were Gozer Apsilo Yichud of Pnuya, and comes along Tamina Beit Shammai Beit Hillel, and they were Gozer even of the Yichud of Avodat Kochavim. By the way, what's the other thing because of some other thing? I mean, we have three other things. So the first other thing was the unmentionable, which was Avodas Kochavim. And then there was another issue because of some other issue, which has nothing to do with the list of the original tekkens, what's that? That, says Omer Nachman Yitzchak, goes, well, tindok oved kochavim, besides being gozer on females, that they are nidot, even when they're in their cribs as infants, they also made a takana on a male child, an oved kochavim, that he should have a din of zivas. Why? Because they wanted people to keep their children away from goyish children. And of course, when you're noyeh tumah v'tahara, you'd be careful not to let your child touch a zav, because they figure shlo yeh tinok Yisrael ragil etzlo b'mishkav zachur. You figure that in goyish society, homosexual relationships are very common, and therefore, in order not to have a mixture of males, of Jewish males with non-Jewish males, we were misakin tumah.
Not later age.
Now, what it seems to be saying over here is that it's even on a tinok from the same stage, which would mean Bari Satan. However, that wasn't really clear, because as Reb Zera says, you know, I had a horrible time getting a psak on this issue. Tsar gadol hayali etz Rabasi. So I used to ask about this, and I never got an answer. Rabasi had his problem trying to get an answer out of Reb Yochanan. Reb Yochanan was trying to get an answer out of Reb Yannai. Reb Yannai was trying to get an answer out of Reb Nosson ben Amram. Reb Nosson ben Amram finally came to Rebbe, and he got the wrong answer, as we'll see. And what he asked was, Tinoko vekochavim me'ematai metamei b'ziva. At what point does he have this tumah? And Rebbe said, it was, he's metamei b'ziva ben yomo, even as soon as he's born. And then I went ahead and I asked Reb Chiya. And Reb Chiya said, oh no way. He has to be old enough to have sexual relations, which means he has to be over 9 years old. I went back to Rebbe. I said, you know, what's the deal? Oh, Marley said, you know what? I was wrong. I'm not Dvarai. Forget about what I said about Ben Yomo. Take Rebbe Chiya as the psak. He's got to be over 9 years old. I mean, after all, our problem over here was sex. So, I mean, if he's not old enough to have such relations, why would we make a takana anyway? So we were only gozer on him from the time that he's royal levia. And the royal levia, metame nami viziva. So we made the shiur the same shiur. Whew.